You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on this week's RedCafe.net podcast, we preview the West Brom match, and with no United games this week, we look back at those involved with their respective international sides. Lone Watch is back as well, and we see how some of the young guys are doing away from Old Trafford, and there was an emphatic victory for the under-18s against Stoke.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, welcome to what is now episode 51 of the redcafe.net podcast. It's me, Stephen Darwin, and I'm joined by Dan and Dov. International break last week or so, guys. How have you been? What have you been up to?
I've been really bored, to be honest with you. I don't rate international football. It's just one of the things. After watching England as well the other night, it's just, what is the point?
What do you mean you don't rate international football, Dan?
I just think it's especially when you're an England fan, it's just, you know, the media just overhype everything, and it's like, you know, we've not even lost the game yet. Everyone's coming out saying, oh, Kafala should be sacked, this and that. It's like, I'm just getting bored of it now. if we'd have won 1-0 and Crouch would have scored, nobody would be saying anything.
Yeah. You should come over early, Dan. You get to get involved in crazy riots. It's much more fun.
I heard you had a lucky escape. You nearly went to the game, didn't you?
Yeah, nearly went to the game. I decided against it like 4 or 5 hours before. And glad I didn't, because the 6 minutes weren't exactly the best.
No. What would have happened? Would you have got a refund, or did you have to... What happened with that?
No, they're not decided yet. There's a few people like complaining about it after the game, like just saying what's going to happen. Are they going to issue a refund? Are they not going to issue a refund? I would expect them to be honest, because if they don't...
Yeah, they can't, not really.
Yeah, surely.
I'm sure there'd be a riot involving Italian fans.
Oh, dear. Anyway, well, we'll get cracking, guys. Unfortunately for Dan, we're going to have a brief look at the international break. And it gets even worse, Dan, because we're going to start with England. Rio Ferdinand and Wayne Rooney, obviously, both involved from the off. And, Wayne Rooney, once again, not convincing, Dan. Let's, rather than focus on the performance itself, because, well, we could talk all day about how rubbish it was, really. But what about the post-match comments he's made? He sort of said that there's been no ankle injury problem. He's trained every time since the start of the season, and obviously that contradicts what Sir Alex Ferguson has said, that he'd likely be out for 2 or 3 weeks with an ankle injury. So Dan, there's been a lot being made of that, obviously, in the press today. So what's your personal take on it? Is this Ferguson not coming out and being honest, or has Rooney sort of come out and said something that he maybe shouldn't have done, as be told not to?
I don't know, really. I mean, I actually heard the interview. I think it was on TalkSport where I heard it. And, you know, he seemed like he was telling the truth. You know, he's not been injured all season. There was a game at Old Trafford where he went over on his ankle, but I don't think that was serious. And, yeah, I mean, if Ferguson is sort of telling porkies, then Rooney's got the right, really, to come out and put it straight, because if people are thinking that he's injured when he's not for a reason of his poor form, then I think that's slightly unfair.
And do you think Rooney would handle it well enough if Ferguson was to come out and say, look, it's as simple as this, I'm dropping you. That's the reason you're not playing, because you're not playing well, your form's suffering. Or has he done that as a cover-up to try... Would Rooney be able to deal with that if he was honest with it?
Well, of course he would, yeah. It'd be up to Wayne Rooney then to prove Ferguson wrong and everybody else wrong. If Capello was to drop him, he'd have to prove him wrong as well. I'm sure behind the scenes that Ferguson's said to Rooney, listen, you're not playing well. We're going to leave you out for a few games. But he's trying to protect Rooney and say, oh, he's injured and that's why he's not playing. But obviously Rooney's not taken kindly to that, has he? And like saying, whether he's been told not to say that, and he has done, just to rile something, then I don't really know where he stands, because from a United point of view, you can't really see Ferguson selling one of our better players.
Just keep going with the injury bit as well. I remember it was maybe a week or so ago, I'm sure Fergie came out, he said that Rooney's trying to hide the injury from the United medical staff. Well, he might be injured, And he's obviously thinking, right, well, I can play through it and I'll just sort it itself. Whereas like the medical staff have just been in and said, right, you need to maybe give it a rest for a week or two. And obviously he wants to play every game. He said that he wants to play every game. So I think it might be a bit of both, like one saying he's a bit more injured than he actually is, another one just going, right, I'm not injured, I can play through it sort of thing. But
yeah, whatever happens though, I mean, Ferguson's got to do what he's got to do for Man United. If he doesn't think that Rooney's, you know, playing well or contributing well enough to games, then he's every right to leave him out. You know, I said last week, you know, Rooney doesn't deserve to just walk into a team. You know, he's still got to prove, you know, he's still got to be better than the people he's playing with in training. And, you know, we mentioned Michael Owen. All right, he didn't have a good game last time out, but he's scored a few goals lately, and obviously Berbatov as well is in great form. So it's not just Wayne Rooney now, and I think that Rooney needs to get his form back and quick, and I think the West Brom game at the weekend is an ideal situation for that if he plays.
Like, he's not on form. Like, he was right. I never didn't see the England game, but from what Steve's told me, he was rubbish again. So yeah. Shouldn't he even get in the team?
Well, I think he will get in there, because I think if it was an away game at West Brom, I reckon that he wouldn't play. But I think because it's Old Trafford and it's going to be a bit more open, he's going to have more chances to put the ball in the net, isn't he? I think. And obviously West Brom are a team that like to go out and attack, so there should be plenty of space there, really.
It's the ideal chance to get his confidence up, isn't it?
Yeah, even if he gets one, if he gets a goal in off his shin or anything like that, you know, it'll pick up. He said that himself. Rooney said that, and everyone said that. It just needs a goal, but I can't see. It's been a good 5 months now where he's not played well.
Well, it was also good, obviously, for Rio to be back. He did okay. Money in the bank, as Andy Gray calls it. But we'll move on to Portugal then. Nani, 2 goals for them against Denmark in the 3-1 win. He also played in the win over Iceland as well. Dov, what more can you say about Nani at the moment? He's really sort of taken everything on board, hasn't he, that he needed to step up. And I mean, is he really sort of coming out of Ronaldo's shadow in a way now?
I think he is a little bit, yeah. I mean, he's like, he got his 2 goals. I think, I'm sure he got an assist as well for Ronaldo. And he's really proven, like, this season he's been one of our better players. But yeah, Ryan Giggs came out and said that he's finally coming out of his shadow as well. Like, maybe he came to United, Ronaldo was this the best player in the world, just this massive figure. And then he sort of came there thinking, well, this guy's amazing. How can I live up to this guy? And if like, when he was getting his chance that season, wasn't really sort of getting the performances that you wanted out of him. And it didn't look like he was going to go on and be the player we all knew and thought he could be. But then Ronaldo's gone. He seemed that he's bulked up a little bit, got a bit stronger as well. And he's been more consistent. And the results are coming with that consistency, with that either the extra time on the training ground, in the gym, whatever. And he's just looking fantastic. And if he keeps going the way he's gone, and I think if we go back into the archives, I did say he could be as good as Ronaldo.
Oh, that would be, again. That's what I was going to ask you next. I mean, do you really think he has got that potential to be as good as Ronaldo, one of the best in the world?
I think so. I do. I've always liked him a lot, and I think he's got everything in his locker. And if he can just exploit that, there's no reason why he can't be that good.
No, it's quite unbelievable, though. I mean, you go back to a year or so ago and... really is amazing. We used to say, how is this guy still getting in the team? How is he at Man United? He's awful. Get rid of him. It's quite incredible, yeah, turnaround.
He always had potential, though, didn't he? That was a frustrating thing. Mm. You know, he always had that burst of speed and that skill and a great shot. And it's just everything's coming together for him now. He's obviously worked hard as well.
Well, Javier Hernandez, he was on the Chicharito, of course. He was on the score sheet for Mexico against Venezuela with a headed goal. So good to see him involved. Dov's home nation, Darren Fletcher, involved for Scotland in a unfortunate, really, 3-2 defeat to Spain, because they played really well. And I don't know if you saw the highlights, but Fletcher played a massive part in PK's own goal. It was a lovely through ball for Morrison that led to the equalising goal. But unfortunately, they couldn't hold on in the end, and Spain got the winner. John O'Shea and Darren Gibson involved for the Republic of Ireland in a 3-2 defeat to Russia. And then again in a 1-1 draw with Slovakia in their most recent qualifier. Johnny Evans and brother Corey Evans, they both played in the 0-0 draw with Italy, and then again in the 1-1 draw of Faroe Islands. You wouldn't believe it, but I actually watched the Faroe Islands game, the 1-1 draw, and it was pretty awful. Evans played at left back. He did okay, didn't really have a lot to do defensively, and he should have really scored, to be honest. He headed over from underneath the bar near enough, and... you'd be disappointed not to have scored there. So not good in that sense. Let's move on to the younger guys, the under 21s, England. Chris Smalling scored a late winner in the playoff for the Euro 2011 under 21s. Yeah, that first game was 2-1 to England, Smalling getting the winner. And the second leg was 0-0. Tom Cleverley and Danny Welbeck also both involved in both games. So well done to England under 21s for qualifying, doing better than the senior side anyway. Sean McGinty and Robbie Brady for Republic of Ireland under 19s, they won 5-0, they are involved. And I've left it for the final point on the script, but we've sort of talked about it already. Nemanja Vidic, first game was a surprise 3-1 defeat to Estonia for Serbia. And the second game was, of course, the one that was called off after just 6 minutes. So I was going to say, what's the reaction to all that Dov being out there? But we've sort of mentioned it already. Anything you want to add to that, to the riots that went on?
It's a bit crazy, to be honest. I mean, that's all I can really say. The one thing about, though, regarding the players, before the game, it was kind of before the game, they went up and sort of applauded their fans, which was something that was quite weird. Although, and Dejan Stankovic, the Inter player, he was sort of interviewed like during, like, just after he'd done it, and he was asked, why did you just applaud the fans? And he said, no, we're trying to calm them down. Now, don't ask me any more questions. Something I find that quite strange, like the way that they'd done it. It just didn't look like they were trying to calm anybody down. But yeah, it's just surreal. You can't have that. And then the scenes before and after as well, like, I think that the Serbian fans overturned a police car. They attacked their goalkeeper Stojkovic with a flare, like threw a flare at him. And then there's just big crazy riots with the police afterwards as well when the Serbian fans came out. So it was just things we don't want to see in football.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
We'll move on to discuss some other bits of news. Owen Hargreaves, Dan, his surgeon said that he could be in line to return against West Brom. We've discussed this in the past. I mean, it's sort of been, he's going to return, then he doesn't. He returns for 5 minutes and then he's out for another 6 months. How would you sum it all up at the moment? I mean, is this really, it's got to be last chance saloon, isn't it? Like in terms of his career at United.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you feel sorry for him in a way, but he's had a lot of bad luck with injuries, and obviously the one that he's got now in both his knees, tendonitis. But I mean, like you say, it really is now or never, I think. And as long as he is fit enough, then I don't see any reason why he can't come off the bench. Said that before. Said, you know, feel him into it. I'll play a few reserve games. But no, he's a good player. He'll be a good player to have back if he can get to any sort of the form that he was before this injury.
And you think he'd still have a sort of important role to play this season if he was proved to be fit enough to be in and around the squad?
Yeah, I reckon so. I mean, he can play in a few positions. He can play right back if needed. He can play, obviously, centre midfield. He can play right side as well. So he could be useful in a variety of roles, really. I mean, the only thing I have a worry with is the fact that he was a nippy player, wasn't he? He used to get in and around people, and if he's not fully confident in sprinting and closing people down, then it could, you know, affect his overall performances. But his quality on the ball is probably what we've missed as well. He's a decent passer. I know he mainly plays, you know, sideways and backwards, but he keeps it ticking, and you can always give him the ball, and hopefully he'll like going into a tackle, and he'll want to risk it.
Picking up on that, because he's been out for so long, do you think he's maybe modified his game a little bit? Because you like to say he liked to run around, he liked to throw himself into a tackle. Obviously, physicality was one of his main strengths. Do you think he's going to maybe look more, like, sit back a little bit and sort of read the game a lot more and like make interceptions instead of like going in for last-ditch tackles, 50-50 challenges, and trying to read the game and sort of control it in that sense, because he's been out for like 2 years almost, so he's going to take a good few months before he's anywhere near sort of physically like 100% fit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he will have adapted his game. There'll be things he's worked on whilst he's been injured. I mean, I'm sure he's been kicking a ball around a little bit.
You'd hope so.
Yeah, well, you would hope so. Yeah, he can't come into it cold, can he? But I mean, there's no reason why he can't have worked on his passing ability, you know, long and short range. And like, the only thing is, you know, when you've got that engine like he had, it's very hard to sort of stop yourself from doing that, isn't it?
I was going to say, I don't really see how it would benefit him to change his game, because I thought the main thing that made him such a good player was the fact that he charged into tackles, he harried players, and he got stuck in, really. And I don't think he's the sort of character that would sort of stop doing that sort of thing. I mean, you look at, slightly different, but you look at Alan Smith when he broke his leg, he sort of came back and was a bit tentative to start with, but then he seemed to get back into that role where he would go, he wouldn't shirk a challenge or anything like that, and he'd still get his foot in. So I'm not sure he'd sort of pull out of tackles or anything like that.
Well, the thing is with Hargreaves, though, I mean, it wasn't an impact injury, it wasn't anything freaky. It's just degenerated, hasn't it? It's not something that somebody's done to him. It's just not what's naturally happened, and it's been unfortunate. So I don't think he's got any mental barriers to overcome, sort of, like, say, in a tackle or anything like that. I think he's probably more concerned when he's running, you know, if his knees go, rather than in a collision with anyone. But obviously, being out for 2 years, he's gonna be a bit pessimistic about it, isn't he? Which is fair enough, but there's got to be a time where he's got to push himself now and get back into that squad.
And Dov, another central midfielder, Anderson, he's come out in the press this last week or so saying that he wants to head back home to Portugal and Porto. He didn't put a timescale on that or anything, but does that annoy you, considering the fact that he needs to be focused, he needs to be pushing for a first-team start, really, because he's no way is he guaranteed to be starting at the moment, and you'd think his mind would be sort of set on proving himself, really, than discussing his future and wanting to move away.
Yeah, well, he's always been one to kind of speak his mind. He's never one just to sort of shirk away and say, sort of just taking a criticism and just deal with it sort of in private. He always likes to come out in public and say things. But regarding the comment, I've got a feeling it's maybe been one of those mistranslated ones or taken out of context a little bit. I think what probably has been said, although this hasn't been quoted, but it'll be more he wants to go back and play at Porto at some point, maybe later in his career, not that he wants to go sort of next week or something like that. That's again what I'm thinking. So it's not annoyed me as yet, although I do take your point that it shouldn't be saying things like that, especially what happened to Makeda and his comment getting taken out of context. It doesn't really help, and then he'll have to do another interview where he's to explain himself. Some fans might just think, right, enough's enough, you've not proved yourself, you can't say things like that, etc. So I'm still giving him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he wants to leave just yet because he's not proved himself, and I mean, a lot of players say it, like, there's nowhere else to go after you play at Manchester United, and there isn't.
Yeah,
I don't think he'd want to go back to Porto right now, though, would he? I mean, why would you want to go to Porto from United?
Would they even want him as well? Like, who says they want him?
I'm sure they'd want him, but why would Anderson go there now when he's just breaking into the Brazilian setup and stuff?
I think he mentioned something about Portugal, the fact he liked, well, obviously it being his, sort of, well, it's not his homeland because he's Brazilian, but in terms of he's lived there before, and I think it's the way of life there and the weather, I suppose, plays a big part as well. We'll see what happens there, and obviously Dov's made a valid point there. It could have been taken out of context, just like Makeda. But we'll move on to the annual financial results that were published recently. Dan, 80 million losses is the figure that's come out. Obviously the United official website and things like that, and David Gill, they've tried to put a positive spin on it, but are you worried at all? I mean, I think we addressed this exactly the same time last season, and I think the results were pretty similar. Obviously, the interest is where the main debt's coming from, the interest payments. But does it still worry you at the moment? I mean, Gil said we're not going to have to sell players or anything like that, but I think a lot of it does depend on how successful we are on the pitch, doesn't it?
Yeah, like you just said, then, you know, just to reiterate, it depends if we keep, you know, getting into Champions League every year, then it's not going to affect us. And if we keep challenging for the league and getting further in cups, it's not going to be an issue. But you dread that day, that one season where you're not quite as good and you finish fifth or sixth, and then you're losing ground, aren't you, all the time, losing money as well and revenue. The only other point to make about it as well, you know, if we're not, I know we spent a few million on a few of the younger players, but I don't think they're anything outstanding. And you've just got to hope that the players that are there now, like, you know, Smalling, Hernandez, Nani, Anderson, even Makeda, they're going to step up for the next 5 years and start producing. Because if we've not got the money to put into the squad and to enhance it and to build it up and improve it, then it's only going to go one way, isn't it? The players are not going to, you know, reach the levels that we expect of them because you're not improving the actual players within your squad. So hopefully, like I say, Ferguson is trusting his young players now to perform and to get us into Champions League every year.
Do you think, though, as well, like, because they issued the bond with the 500 million bond, they don't have to pay that back until 2017. Do you think that'll be the sort of watershed point where once this bond has to get paid back, that's when there's going to be no money left? And I think there's 160 million in the bank, and that's shown that there's no money being taken out to pay these PIC loans yet. that once this threshold is reached, that's when we're going to go the way of somebody like Liverpool, where we're just going to go down the tubes, go into administration because we can't physically afford to pay the money back.
Yeah, of course it's a concern because you don't, I mean, even Liverpool now, I wouldn't want to see, as United, I don't want to see Liverpool go to the wall and whatnot. I think because the rivalry is there and you don't want to see that, just like any club. But, you know, I can't, it's very hard to put yourself in a position where you know, the club that you've supported all your life and the one that you go and watch and everything else, it wouldn't be there one day. But it's getting, you know, realistic now. Some clubs are getting, you know, forced into administration for not paying like a £350,000 tax bill or something, yet United can live up to the debts what they're on now, and it's a bit unfair really, but there must be a plan in place
yeah.
You know, by 2017 to actually eradicate the majority of the debt so that it doesn't come to the point what we're fearing now.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is being able to keep the fan base up as well. I mean, look at Liverpool, they're still an attractive club, although things aren't going right for them on the pitch and haven't been for sort of the last couple of years now. There's still interest in them. I know it's come late on, but there's still people that want to buy Liverpool Football Club and wipe out the debts effectively. So if it came to that stage, however gigantic the debts are, and the Glazers hopefully do want to move aside eventually, then hopefully someone would be willing to do a similar thing. And obviously the fan base is a big part of that because that's what generates a lot of the income. But I'm no one to talk about business, so we'll move it on there.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
What about Loan Watch then, guys? We mentioned we might do it this week, and you've both come up with a list of the players that are out on loan and how they've been getting on.
It's quite a big long list. Dan, do you want to start or would you like me to kick off?
I don't mind, mate. I've done my research, I'm fine.
He's done his research.
I had a few hours where it's been quiet.
Go on, you could do a couple of yours and I'll do a couple of mine and we'll swap again.
Alright, no worries. Preston have taken Matty James and Josh King on loan from United, obviously. Darren Ferguson there being the manager. Both players have played in 7 games, both scoring just 1 goal. However, they've not played for Preston since the 11th of September when they got injured in the game against Burnley. Josh King now is back in training, so he should be fit fairly soon. And Matty James, we're not quite sure when he's going to be back, but he's been impressive in central midfield and playing well up to his injury. Just around the corner from me at Bury, we've got Nicky Ajoze, who's made 3 sub-appearances versus Cheltenham, Morecambe and Rotherham. And he's also started in the Football League Trophy shootout against Shrewsbury. He's also started and scored in the league win over Accrington on Saturday. So he's doing all right, Nicky Ajoze. You know, they've played 5 games with him and Bury are still unbeaten. So he's definitely doing something right. Up at Carlisle, we've got another 2 players there, James Chester and Oliver Norwood. Chester's been solid, started 13 matches, scoring 1 goal in the process. And Norwood has appeared in 6 games, starting 4 and coming from the bench twice. So, you know, they're getting some good first-team experience and Chester is especially playing very well and he's one for the future. I think he played in the League Cup last year for us, or the year before, and he looked really good then as well. So he's one for the future, definitely. And as you know, Carlisle, they're 2nd in League One after 11 matches, so they're flying high. And hopefully, if they get promoted, it's some good experience for those young lads there of some success.
Go through a few of mine as well. Tom Cleverley, he's at Wigan. He's only played 1 game for them. And this was all the way back at the start of September against Sunderland. And he came on the 76th minute and managed to get an assist. He had a shot which went in off Antoine Alcaraz on the 87th minute. So not a bad introduction for him, but I do believe he's been injured and that's why he's not played since then. There's Mami Biram Diouf, he's at Blackburn Rovers. He's had quite a sort of good start to them, so he's made 5 starts and 2 sub-appearances. He's only scored 1 goal though in the league, and that was against the Arsenal. It was a 2-1 defeat, although on his full debut for Blackburn, he got a hat-trick in the 3-1 home League Cup victory over Norwich City. So it looks like he's going to be a key player for them, starting lots of games and scoring a few goals, although not in the league yet. You got Danny Welbeck at Sunderland as well. He's started 5 games, but so he's came off and he's been subbing a few other ones as well, and sort of Carling Cup. And he's not scored yet. He's not sort of made any impact to scoring or assist-wise, but it looks like he's getting game time. So, and when we had the Sunderland fan on a couple of weeks ago, he said it looks like he could break into the team towards the end of the season as well. We've also got Danny Drinkwater. He's on loan at Cardiff, and he's doing quite well in the Championship. Started a fair number of games, 6 games started for him in the Championship and the Carling Cup, and he's making a good impact, although no goals or assists for him as yet. We've got Cameron Stewart. He's at Yeovil Town on a 6-month loan. More of a sub down there than anything else. Started 2 games, sub 4 times, and again, nothing doing for him, goals or assists wise, but he's playing well, which is good to see. A couple of the younger guys on sort of little loans. We've got Connor Devlin. He's at Hartlepool for a month long loan. Started at the end of September. He's not played as yet. Also have Reece Brown and Oliver Gill at Bradford City. Reece made his debut against Morecambe in a 1-0 defeat. And Oliver Gill, he's played a few more games. He's played 3 games for them. Again, made his debut in the game against Morecambe, and they played in the Johnson's Paint Trophy against Hartlepool and another league game against Barnet as well. So he's getting a bit more first team action. He looks decent as well. So it's good to see those two getting some first team action, although those are both on the month long loans as well. And Scott Wooten, he has joined Tranmere Rovers, the team where he actually broke through into football, or came into football, started as a trainee there. He's away there on a month-long loan, and he made his debut on the 2nd of October. He scored a late equalising goal in the 1-1 draw with Brighton there, so an instant impact there from Scott. So, got a few of the lads. Most of them are getting first-team action, and some of them making bigger impacts than others.
Yeah, I mean, there's another one as well. You know, Richard did that as well. He went to Sheffield United on loan for only a month. Gary Speed was well impressed with him, wanted to take him permanently, you know, actually sign him, which is a good sign for Delay, really, because he's not really had too many chances in the first team. But yeah, he's made 2 starts and 1 sub-appearance for Sheffield United. So he's been impressing, you know, in Yorkshire. So maybe, you know, he'll go out on loan again towards the end of the season, maybe for the rest of the season if Ferguson lets him. But I think there's a few clubs interested in him, you know, to do that. So it's up to Ferguson really where he sends him. But I quite like the loan function because it gives all the players, you know, a bit of first team experience and what it's like to be away from United. And I think it's good.
It's good for them as professional footballers as well, because
certainly, yeah,
nine
yeah.
times out of ten that they're probably not going to make it at United in terms of first team regulars. And the fact that they get the chance to go out and see what it's like to be a professional at the lower level. And obviously not the same as the glitz and glamour of Premier League football. It's obviously ideal for them and sets them up for the future. So that's good. And we'll revisit that in a few months' time and see how they're all doing. But Dov, I'm going to ask you to talk again briefly. And we'll look at reserve. Well, it's not reserves review, it's youth team review. The under-18s, a convincing 4-0 win, I believe, if you want to run through some brief details of how that went.
Indeed, Steve. It was a 4-0 victory over Stoke in the Academy Premier League. An emphatic win. So Will Keane, he was in good form last weekend, and he opened the scoring from a penalty. He was brought down in the 13th minute. Then John Coffey, he doubled the lead there. Got a shot in there from close range on 36 minutes. Keane then got his second goal of the game. He brought Ryan Tunnicliffe's long pass under control. Absolutely fantastic. And then fired home from just inside the box. At this point, United were cruising, obviously 3-0 up. This was 5 minutes before half time as well, so nothing to worry about. So the contest was put to bed just about an hour mark where the fourth goal went in. Will Keane and John Coffey were involved once more, produced some great link up play. And Paul Pogba, he had a dipping shot that just went over the keeper. So it was 4-0. Again, Paul Pogba, he's looking pretty decent as well. Well, Keane just, he was banging in the goals last season. He seems to be banging them in again. So he looks like he's going to be one to certainly watch out for. You can't complain, a 4-0 win for the youngsters. And they have a few decent performances as well.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, everybody, it's that time on the RedCafe.net podcast where we bring on an opposition fan to learn all about them. And obviously this weekend we have West Brom. And we're delighted to welcome Hugh Morris of Baggies.com. The website's called Boing, and he's from that website. So Hugh, welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Hello.
Well, to start with, I'm just going to ask you about your website. It's called Boing, an unofficial West Brom site, and it's at baggies.com. Why Boing? It seems a bit strange.
Well, it's obviously from the old Boing Boing Baggies Baggies chant, which has been going for quite a few years now. We're not quite sure where the boing boing actually came from. We think it was possibly a very cold away day in Hull, is one theory, where the fans were just jumping up and down trying to keep warm. Boing was a suitable name for the mailing list, but when it came to the website, unfortunately, boing.com had already been taken, so the website, which came later, is baggies.com.
We'll get right into it then. We'll get right into the deep end. Let's talk about your current form, because you're doing very, very well. Obviously, sitting sixth in the Premier League. Unbeaten at home, you beat Arsenal away, Man City at home, Birmingham at home. Obviously, the City game was in the Carling Cup, so but you've also drew with Tottenham. You're having quite a time of it. I mean,
Yes. When we first saw the fixture list at the start of the season, away matches at Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, and Manchester United, plus a home game against Tottenham, obviously we feared the worst. And it's hard to see where the points are going to come from. So obviously the point at this stage of the season is very pleasing. I think if we'd been offered that at the start of the season, we'd have taken it without a second thought. So yes, it's all gone really well so far.
Indeed, obviously you're playing some nice football. The Arsenal match in particular, you genuinely outplayed Arsenal as well, which was... Obviously, so that was good to see for a start, because people obviously think, oh yeah, if you're getting a victory at the Emirates, then you might be a lucky victory, maybe sneak to a last-minute goal, something like that. But he's actually were genuinely the much better side, which I think you've got to get credit for.
Yes, apart from the last 20 minutes where they really came at us, we did play really, really well that day. But that wasn't one-off. We played some really nice football just about every game this season. Even the Chelsea game, we lost 6-0. Until the second goal went in, I thought we were playing pretty well even in that one, and then the heads dropped. But now the media has actually noticed that we can actually play a bit.
And, well, that must be down to Roberto Di Matteo, your manager, who has won the Manager of the Month for September, and Peter Odemwingie has won the Player of the Month for September. So obviously your form has been recognised. I mean, what are your thoughts on the two guys there, Di Matteo, your manager, and Odemwingie, the striker?
Di Matteo, I mean, what a guy. I mean, he took over from Mowbray, and he had a reputation for playing good football under Tony Mowbray, but he was a bit tippy-tappy, and Di Matteo likes to... get the ball forward a bit quicker, and he's far more direct than Mowbray ever was, but he's an excellent manager. I just hope we can keep hold of him for another few seasons, because he's obviously destined for greatness. Now to Odemwingie, I think this was the major weakness of the team, somebody who could actually put the ball in the net. And it's early days, yes, but Odemwingie certainly looks as if he's going to be the answer to our problems there. He's got it all. He's got movement, he can play up front by himself, he can play off players. He looks a really, really good buy, and at that price as well.
Well, you mentioned one player there. Is there any other players maybe we should look out for? Obviously, you've got players like Chris Brunt in the team, Nicky Shorey. Is there anybody that United should be particularly worried about?
Well, one guy that I think has been playing really well this season is in central defence, Jonas Olsen. He's been immense. He's always been a defender, but he's been a bit rash in the past. And he seems to have calmed down a bit this season, and look out for him. And then in midfield, there's Youssef Malumbu, who he got from Paris Saint-Germain for $1.5 million, and that's looking like a steal as well. He's a cracking midfielder. Breaks up play really well, reads the game well, and I expect him to go on to bigger and better things as well.
And how do you think you will actually approach the game at the weekend? Obviously, you've got those wins against some of the bigger teams, but obviously United are a whole different kettle of fish. And we're not playing particularly well, though, this season either. Do you think you will maybe sort of set up to sort of get us on the counter-attack, or do you think you'll actually go for it and sort of take the game to us?
I don't think they're going to go for it in a way that, say, Blackpool would. But they're not going to sit back and get 11 men behind the ball either. I think you'll see quite a similar thing to what you saw in the Arsenal game of we'll press quite high, and when we do get possession, we'll try and break quickly, and when we don't have the ball, we'll get behind it and keep pressing. I think what you'll find is that we'll try and play our way through the match. We won't just sit back and then hoof it. I expect the game to be a lot closer.
The last two games against United have been, 5-0, which was in January 09, and then 4-0, which was in October 08. Obviously, you're not expecting to get a scoreline like that against you at the weekend, are you?
Well, who knows? If United gets the early goal, and who knows what could happen then, but I would hope not. I really do expect we do have a better team than last time, and to be fair, United do seem a bit vulnerable this season. I mean, some of the draws you've had, Bolton, Fulham, in games which in previous years you'd have to win those. Maybe it's there for the taking. Indeed. Just to try and nick a point.
Indeed, and obviously, is there any particular United players you're worried about facing? Obviously, for example, you've got Berbatov, who's in some fantastic form, Nani as well, and then hopefully Rio Fernandovic will be at the back. I mean, is there any particular player which you think that West Brom could struggle against?
Yeah, Berbatov is obviously lovely to watch. Yeah, Liverpool, and we were good value for a draw, actually, and then we had one brilliant moment from Torres, who won the game for them, and I could well see something like that happening again with Berbatov. I don't know what's up with Rooney at the moment. He just doesn't seem the same player as last year. So, having said that, that'll probably come back to bite me. But yeah, Berbatov is certainly the player I fear more than anyone else.
Fear. Well then, Hugh, I've got a question for you. Imagine West Brom. They've got more money than Manchester City, okay? And you can only buy... You can only buy players from Manchester United. So you can have any player from United you want. What player would you have, and why would you have him? But you're not allowed Wayne Rooney, although you probably wouldn't take him on his current form anyway.
You're right. On current form, I wouldn't have taken him. Have you got enough money for a time machine? Can we go back 10 years? Because I would really like Ryan Giggs 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, we can do that, I'm sure. It's a red cafe.
I mean, Ryan Giggs, what a player he was. I mean, he's still got it, but he can't quite last the full game these days, can he? But of the current team, probably Berbatov, I'd say.
Dan will be very, very pleased to hear that. He's a big admirer of Dimitar. And before we let you go, Hugh, just got one question to ask you. It would be, what do you think the score will be at the weekend?
I think I'll have to go for a 2-0 United win. I'll be delighted if we can get a point. I think there's an outside chance we can do it, but I think going with the head rather than the heart, I think you'll win.
Well, that's something I like to hear indeed. Well, Hugh, thank you very much for coming on the show. Just so everybody knows, the website is Boing, and it's www.baggies.com if everybody wants to go there and check that out as well. Hugh, thank you very much for being a guest on the redcafe.net podcast.
My pleasure.
Well, that was the views of our opposition fan for this week. Dan, West Brom on the weekend at home, of course. I suppose you might have thought they'd be sort of relegation fodder at the start of the season, but they've had a fantastic start to the season. Obviously, well, you certainly can't underestimate them at the moment, not after what they did to Arsenal at the Emirates. So are you worried at all that a similar sort of thing might happen to us in terms of being drawn into the trap of complacency?
No, I don't think so, because our results at the moment, we've not been good enough to be complacent, quite honestly. I think that we've got to take this game, you know, really seriously. West Brom, you know, they're a decent team. The last time they were in the Premier League, they looked to pass it around and knock it about a bit, didn't they? And they were just very fragile and didn't score enough goals, which was obviously a bit of a problem. But I think this season under Di Matteo, I think they look strong. They're good going forward. They use their wings quite well. Their result against Arsenal at the Emirates was probably a one-off. I mean, Arsenal were really, really poor that day, yet they still scored a few goals against West Brom. So hopefully we can get back on the goal trail, score a few more goals, and hopefully get Rooney back on form and just get the result that I think we need, really, just to keep up with Chelsea. And obviously City are in second at the moment. You don't really like to see City above United. So I think it's one result that Ferguson will be telling his players, listen, we must win here. There's no hiding place. You've got to win.
Certainly do. And Dan talked about it earlier with Rooney, and how would you play it in terms of him playing against West Brom? Would you start with him? Are you that put off by his form that you would drop him and bring in, say, Hernandez-Owen?
I think he needs to earn his place back in the side. I think one is just the everything that went on, and obviously, and then he's came out and said those comments about his ankle. I think he really needs to earn his place back in the side. You've got Berbatov, who's on fantastic form, didn't play during international week, so he'll be raring to go, and I expect him to start. And I think, like Hernandez, he scored during international break as well, and he scored before then. He deserves a start. I think Wayne Rooney's got to earn his place, and I don't think he should, just because he's Wayne Rooney, shouldn't be given a first team start just because of his name. He needs to earn it, and he's not earning it at the minute. He can maybe come on as a sub if he makes an impact. Great, he's earned it then. But if he doesn't, then sit him on the bench.
Obviously, yeah, you're right in what you say. He shouldn't be able to walk into the team. But in terms of, I mean, I asked Dan earlier, but in terms of his mind and in terms of his character, I mean, would Rooney be able to take that, accept that, that he's just going to sit on the bench, he's not been playing well, and he has to prove himself? Or will he turn it around and say, look, I should be starting week in, week out. I'm one of the best players in the team. Form's temporary, class is permanent. Should be giving me the chance to impress.
I think Fergie, so he'll be able to manage that. I mean, he'll just say to the player, look, you're not playing well at the minute. Just take a week, sort yourself out properly. Don't pretend you can do something, or tell everybody you can do something when you can't. We've got other guys, there's 7 strikers on the books. We've got guys here who are on form. They'll be thinking exactly the same. I mean, Hernandez is probably thinking, I'm good enough to start here every week. I'm scoring goals every time I come on. I'm scoring goals at international level. Why am I not starting? Then you've got a problem if he goes to Ferry and goes, look, I should be starting every game. Why am I not starting every game? So I think Fergie's good enough manager to be able to manage Wayne Rooney and just say to him, look, you're not playing well at the minute. I've got other guys who are playing well as you. You're coming as a sub if you make an impact and earn your place, fair enough. But at the minute, you're not on form. And you're not bigger than Manchester United, so nobody should be able to say that they are number one choice striker just because of their price tag, their ability, their name.
That's a fair point. Certainly be plenty of takers if it were all to kick off. But no, we'll see what happens. It'll be intriguing to see if he does start with him. What about predictions then, Dan? I'll start with you. How you see it going?
No, I'm 2-0 United.
Dov?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Sorry, go on, Dan. You're going to expand on that.
No, I was just going to predict who was going to score, but I think I'm going to go
on
Ferdinand and Berbatov.
Dolph, what about you? How's it going to go?
Do you want me to predict scorers as well?
Go for it. Yeah, why not?
All right, go on. I think it'll be 2-0 as well. Dan stole my score. But I think it'll be a Wayne Rooney double. How's that? Come on as a sub.
We're not going to get 2 penalties, Dolph.
Oh, I like it. Well, let's certainly hope we do pick up the 3 points, and hopefully Rooney does get himself on the score sheet, because I think he needs it. But that is just about the end of episode 51 of the redcafe.net podcast. Remember, usual email address, podcast@redcafe.net, with any suggestions, comments, questions, anything like that. Yeah, that just leaves us to say thanks a lot for listening, and make sure you tune in again next week.